we just come off of a 10-week series that was just really focused on doctrine. It was heavy in theology and just kind of looking at some of the core things that we believe as Christ followers, right? So we came off this series being entitled Creed, the things that we believe and hold dear as followers of Jesus Christ. And we shared a little bit about how that was really the statement of faith of the Evangelical Free Church of America, which we proudly belong to, but also it's a part of who we are. It's what we believe as Christians. And so we've been really kind of saturating ourselves in doctrine these last 10 weeks. I hope you were challenged by that. We looked at the nature of God and talked about the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, distinct in essence, yet in person, yet one in essence. We talked about the Bible, the Word of God, it being the inspired Word of God. It is reasonable to put all of our faith and trust in it because it has been proven to be the Word of Almighty God. We looked at the human condition, man being born separated from God, in need of a Savior, only coming into reconciliation with God the Father through the blood of Jesus Christ as the only means of our salvation. We looked at Jesus Christ, the one who came down from heaven, paid the price for our sins, went to the cross for us. We looked at the works of Jesus Christ, that now those that he did before the foundation of the world, those he did when he walks amongst us, as well as he continually intercedes before the Father for us. We looked at the Holy Spirit in his person, in his works, in his power. We looked at the church of Jesus Christ, the hope of the world. Man's biggest problem today is not the things that we see, but it's the distance that man experiences from God. And God has put the church in the place to bring the hope of Jesus Christ to the world. True freedom is only found in Jesus Christ. And as we look at the church, it is the hope of the world. And so we looked at that. We looked at Christian living. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ? And how does that play out in this arena of life that we're called to? How should what we believe manifest itself in the decisions that we make, the priorities that we keep, in the lifestyles that we live? We looked at Christ's glorious return. We looked at the second coming of Jesus Christ that will proceed after the tribulation and the rapture of the church. Looking forward to that glorious day, highlighting the fact that nothing else needs to happen before the glorious rapture of the church. At any moment, Jesus can come. Amen. And we as Christ followers want to be ready and we want to be working towards bringing as many people to Jesus as possible. Because as we looked at last week, the road to heaven is very narrow and very few will enter into it, but the road to hell is very broad and many will enter it. And so we looked last week at the eternal destiny of those who embrace Christ as well as those who reject Christ. And so we spent a lot of time on doctrine, and I love talking about doctrine. I love theology. I love just looking at the revelation of God in the scriptures. But this morning, as we gather together, I thought it'd be really important to make sure that our doctrine, that our theology, that the things that we know finds its proper place in our lives. You see, doctrine isn't there to just fill our minds and so we say, wow. But the reality is doctrine, when received correctly, starts in our head, works its way to our heart, and must flow out of our hands in service to other people. And so this morning, what I want to do is to balance out our emphasis these past 10 weeks on doctrine is this call that each and every one of us have to be Jesus to the world around us, to make sure that what we believe impacts the way in which we see ourselves as missionaries to the world around us, as Christ's ambassadors, as the hands and feet of Jesus. Because if the church is unwilling to go outside of its comfort zones, then what we believe matters not. And I never want to be a church that is so educated theologically, and yet paralyzed in our service for lost people. It's why we gather. It's why we come together. And as we, as a church family, and as our vision of our church, we exist ultimately to glorify God. And the way in which we believe we're going to glorify God is by making disciples of Jesus Christ. And this time last year, we took a moment and I introduced to you the vision of our church. Where do we see God bringing us in these next number of years? And certainly not wanting to be presumptuous upon the will of God, but as the scripture says, without a vision, the people perish. And so we want to say, here's where we believe we're going, and here's where, these are the steps that we believe strategically on how we're going to get there. And so I introduced to you the vision frame of our church and the vision, the long-term, as well as the short-term goals. And I want to bring that to you again this morning. For some of you, this might be completely new. It's interesting. One of the things that we believed was necessary in our one-year goal was to grow as a church, as I'll share momentarily. We want to grow both deep and wide. We want to grow both spiritually, but we also want to grow in numbers because we believe that together as a church, the more we are, the more impact we can make. And we had kind of like this office goal of seeing our church grow by 100 people in the course of the year. We didn't want to communicate it that much because we didn't want to make it look like we're just about numbers, because we're not. But we also believe that we really believe that as we're serving and preaching the gospel, we're going to grow. And here we are a year later, and I'm happy to report to you that we've grown over 100 people in this past year. And that's exciting. That's without any kind of tricks up our sleeve anything other than preaching the gospel and reaching people for Jesus. And so, but I recognize that there'll be a number of people that have not seen our vision frame. And so I want to bring it to you this morning. And so if you take a look at the screen above us, Pastor Tom will kind of keep up with me a little bit. What we have is our vision frame, right? And in our frame is what holds a picture. Right, a picture is oftentimes flexible, right? And our vision, as I'll communicate shortly, it's the things we believe God's calling us to. It's a vision. It's not directly from the throne of God. It's not something that, you know, I haven't heard the audible voice of God on this, but I sense this is the direction the Lord is leading us. I sense that God has put this in the hearts of his people, certainly in this person, to see us make an impact for Jesus Christ on Long Island. And so our vision might change a little bit as we go, as God clearly fills in blanks that we don't know about. But what's necessary for a vision to remain, or a picture, is we need to have a frame. And our frame is what holds the vision in place. Our frame is not flexible like a piece of paper or a picture would be. Our frame communicates the things that we value, the things that we hold dear. And so this morning, I want to highlight to you what the frame of our vision is. On the first side of our frame, it's our mission. It's our mission. What is the mission of Integrity Church? Why do we exist as a church? Our mission is simply this: to inspire people to passionately follow Jesus. I mean, we looked at a whole bunch of things that our goals were, but we really whittled it down to this quick, easy phrase here. Our desire is to inspire people to passionately follow Jesus. Because here's the thing, every other metric of discipleship, albeit Bible study, prayer, fellowship, church attendance, reaching lost people, whatever it may be, every metric of discipleship needs to flow out of a heart that is passionate about Jesus. And so our desire, by the help of the Holy Spirit, certainly, and through our preaching and our teaching and our highlighting the scriptures, it's to inspire you to passionately follow Jesus. I want to see a crowd of people on Long Island that are passionately lovers of Jesus. Because listen, if we're lovers of Jesus, we'll love what Jesus loves. And Jesus loves lost people. And Jesus loves broken people. And Jesus loves the church. And Jesus loves our kids. And so what we want to do is we want to be a church that is passionately following Jesus. That's the mission. It's why we exist as a church. On the other side of our frame is our values. It's not an exhaustive list of the things that we value, but it kind of highlights the core things that we value as a church. Jesus said that you are the salt of the earth. And one of the things that we recognize is that we have been entrusted by Jesus to be the salt of the earth. And so we use the word salted to serve as an acronym for the things that we value as a church. And the S in salted stands for the value of seeing people connect with God. I mean, there's nothing more exciting than seeing somebody who walks in the door that didn't know Jesus, that was far off from God, come into life-saving, life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. There's nothing more exciting than to see Jesus turn people's lives upside down as a result of them embracing the gospel, and their lives change, their families change, their priorities change. Why? Because they fell in love with Jesus. We value that as a church. We seek to get people to connect not to a building, not to a structure, not to an organization, but to God. And as they embrace Jesus, man, life changes. The A in salted stands for our value of the authority of God's word. We recognize that man's opinion does not matter. God's word does not change with the priorities of our culture. It does not change by political opinion. It does not change one bit. God's word is the ultimate authority for everything we believe, everything we do, everything we practice as God's people. It must be in the word of Almighty God. Everything rises and falls based on our commitment to the word of God. And Integrity Church is unapologetically committed to the authority of God's holy word. Nothing we think, feel, or have an opinion on matters in comparison to the authority of God's holy word. We value that, and so everything we do flows through a theology of the scriptures. The L in salt stands for legacy cubed. What is that? We believe in the importance of being disciples that make disciples that make disciples. Building a legacy of discipleship. Seeing ourselves as disciples and as disciples of Jesus, we recognize that we are called to disciple other people and to put into them the need to disciple others. It's this idea of genuine, authentic discipleship being lived out in the church. Legacy cubed, disciples that make disciples that make disciples. In addition to that, legacy cubed also makes reference to our commitment to being an intergenerational church. Recognizing that there's no one generation that's going to move the ball down the field and make an impact for Jesus Christ. If we want to be a whole church, we want to be a complete church, we want to be a healthy church, then man, we need representation from every one of the generations. There's no obsolete generation. It grieves me when I see so many church starts that are just focusing on a specific generation. If we want to be healthy, we want to be whole and be able to really make maximum impact. Man, our younger ones need to glean from our older ones. You know, our older ones need to glean from our younger ones. We need to come to the table with all of our experiences and recognize that man, God's brought us together to make a maximum impact. And you know what? It's going to require from 8 to 80 years old. And that ought to, and it's interesting, the ones who really find their place here, they're not so committed to their generation that they're looking to change everybody according to the generation. The one that comes in and wants us to be just an older generation church, they usually don't find their home here. We're not asking anybody to lay aside who they are. We're looking for people to incorporate who they are, add to what we're doing, add to the whole of what we are so we could truly be an intergenerational church that's healthy, mentoring one another, leaning and learning from one another. Why? Well, it ties into the T in salted because we believe greatly in team ministry. We believe God has given each of us gifts and talents and abilities, and there's nobody in the church of Jesus Christ that is expendable. There's nobody that doesn't bring something to the table. We don't seek to be a church that is personality driven. We're not looking to raise up any rock stars to make anything big happen. Those flash in the pans, they start and they fizzle out quickly. If we want to be a church that really impacts the world around us, then we need to recognize that it's going to take all of us to do it. All of our experience, all of our resources, all of our passion, all of our hearts. It requires a team to pull each other along to this mission that I believe God's called us to. The E, insulted, represents our value that every member is a missionary. Every member is a missionary. I'm not encouraging you to see yourself as a missionary. I'm encouraging you to be a missionary. You already are a missionary. And what we see all throughout the scriptures is that once we have come to Christ, we need to recognize that we are on mission. That you are no less on the mission field when you go to work in the morning, when you engage your community, than the one who jumps on his plane and jumps over to some third world country. You're in no less a mission field, and you are no less a missionary. Spurgeon says that every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. And that's so true. So many times we get so caught up in everything and anything other than our ultimate purpose in Christ. It's being missionaries for Jesus. In our jobs, in our schools, in our communities, in our families. Not pretend like you're a missionary. Be a missionary, because you already are. Every member is a missionary. And then D stands for our commitment and our value of a dynamic worship experience. I think something special, something unique happens when the church of God comes together in an environment like this with one focus of lifting up the name of Jesus Christ and focusing our undivided attention upon him. We believe that we want to use every resource we have, every ability that we have, so we can create an environment to the degree that we can in our flesh, in our human capacity, to create an environment so people can come in and they can connect with God. Create an environment where there's not obstacles and distractions, but they can come and they can just pour out their hearts to God. I've seen it so many times during our worship time, so many people just crying out to God, being ministered to by the Holy Spirit. It's interesting. I've seen the Holy Spirit do in 5 minutes of worship what years of counseling could never accomplish. Creating an environment. Now, obviously, we can only do so much, right? It's not by might or power. We recognize it's by the Spirit of Almighty God, and we come dependent upon that. I come dependent on the fact that God is going to show up on a Sunday morning. That is the biggest factor into every decision that is made. But what we can be responsible for is making sure that the word of God is preached, that there's an environment that's open for worship and communication and fellowship with one another. And when that takes place, people walk out of here having connected with God, which is better than any other experience than anybody could ever experience. A dynamic worship experience. It's the values of our church. At the bottom of our frame is our strategy. How do we seek to create this environment that is that is reaching the community and planting churches and being effective for Jesus? Our strategy is communicated through a picture of our funnel. If you see the top of our funnel, the top of our funnel represents our Sunday morning experience. It's where our largest crowd gathers together, and it's where we come together and we're under the teaching of the word, and we're worshiping with one another, and we're fellowshipping with one another, and we're growing in our faith. And the hope is that we don't just participate just in Sunday morning, but the hope is that we begin to get involved in our small group ministry, our cohesion ministries, and our pillars ministry, and mosaic ministry, and summit, and 179, and our discipleship classes. And each as we're going through the funnel, our crowds are getting smaller, but the intimacy and the connection that we're having with one another is growing deeper in ways that can't possibly happen on a Sunday morning. And what we're praying happens there is that our disciples are being formed and fashioned, and what they're doing is they're going out of the funnel into the world and gathering people and bringing them back on a Sunday morning so they can connect with God and experience the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. We don't have men's ministry or women's ministry just to provide an avenue for something to do on a Wednesday night. It's strategically there in place so that we can meet men where they're at and bring them to levels of discipleship that we can't necessarily do in a big crowd on a Sunday morning. And the same goes for Mosaic and Summit and all the other ministries. It's our strategy on equipping disciples and sending them out to the world and bringing them back in. On the top of our frame is our metrics. This is the metrics are the way in which we plan on looking back and seeing how effective have we been. You know, if you don't measure something, you'll never be able to know if you're being successful. You can have all the goals in the world, but if you don't have a metric as to determine whether you're hitting those targets, you'll just never know. And so when we think about our metrics, what do we want to see happen as a result of Integrity Church getting out into the communities and reaching people for Jesus? We had a whole list of things that we pray to God see happen, but we kind of condensed it into three main categories, all starting with an R. The first one is we want to see a revival of Christianity. We want to see people turning to Jesus. We want to see people baptized in Jesus' name. We want to see people embracing the Word of God and applying the Word of God to their lives and getting involved in the local church and getting involved in their community and allowing the truth of the gospel beginning to impact their lives. We want to see true revival of Jesus Christ, of Christianity on Long Island. Revival is not about emotionalism. Although it gets emotional. There's something emotional about when you start seeing people coming in and embracing Jesus. But true revival presents itself as in changed hearts. It's one of our metrics. Our second R is the reestablishing of the core of our home. No institution is more under attack than the homes across America. The devaluing of the home, the busyness of parents, the disconnect of our kids. We're seeing divorces and brokenness and so much destruction in the homes. Listen, God's word lays out for us what a healthy home ought to look like. And we as God's people have the opportunity and indeed the responsibility to bring the truth of God's word, to help a man be all that God wants him to be as a husband, as a father, as a leader, to help a woman be the wife that God's called her to be. Why? Because this is how the word of God lays it out. The reestablishing of the core of the homes, to see our divorce rates going down as a result of people embracing the gospel. That's revival, man. That's what happens when God shows up. Broken things get healed. Revival of Christianity, reestablishing of the core of the home. And our third metric is the reinvestments into our community. Reinvestment into our communities. This is what the church is called to go. It's here that we come, we gather, we learn, we're equipped, but we can't just leave it here. We're called now to go out into all the worlds to bring the truth with us into our communities, and our communities are broken. We can't rely on government to meet the needs. It's the church that needs to feed the hungry. It's the church that needs to clothe the naked. It's the church that needs to come alongside the homeless communities and those who are broken and disconnected from life. It's the church of Jesus Christ. We're the hope of the world because we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And we'll know we're being successful. And please understand what I mean by the word successful. Pleasing to God, effective. We'll know that integrity is doing what integrity was birthed by God to do. When we start seeing a revival of Christianity, a reestablishment of the core of the home, and a reinvestment in our community. God's given us a dream. It's a big dream. It's not to just be a church here in Yaphank, but it's to impact all of Long Island. The vision that God's given us here is summarized in a brief statement. And it's this, that by 2028, we will saturate our backyard. What's our backyard? Our backyard is a 20-mile radius of Yaphank, a 20-mile radius of where you stand right now. 2028, obviously it's 10 years from now. By 2028, we will saturate our backyard by providing churches. Why is that necessary? Because they tell us that the most effective form of evangelism today is church planting. If we want to really reach communities, if we really want to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, then we must plant churches. The most effective way of raising up disciples today and seeing converts today is by church planting. It used to be the Crusades years ago, no longer. Now it's the establishing and the planting of churches. By 2028, we'll saturate our backyard by providing churches. To do what? To shift culture. Those are our metrics. To shift culture into finding its place in God's story. Imagine living in a place where churches are impacting and shifting culture and people are finding their place in God's story. And revival is happening, and reestablishing of the core of the home is happening, and reinvestments into the community are happening. That's our desire, that by 2028 we'll saturate our backyard by providing churches to shift culture into finding its place in God's story. That's a big vision, that's a big goal. And if we don't have strategic steps on how to get there, it'll remain a dream. And so what we do is we take that big 10-year goal, and we start to break it into more measurable goals, more timely, short-term goals. And so in order to look at our vision there, our 10-year goal, we need to look at a 6 to 8 year goal. And in order to reach our 6 to 8 year goal, what we do is we break it up into four basic categories. And we use the word seal to communicate those four categories. What does that represent? You see, in order for us to be able to hit the big goal, we got to start hitting some smaller goals, right? And so SEAL represents our need to start hitting some smaller goals over the next 6 to 7 years. SEAL stands for, the S stands for serving an 8 mile radius. You see, we are believing that people coming to Jesus and serving the community are directly connected. And we'll never be able to reach a 20 mile backyard if we don't start first reaching an 8 mile area. And so we want to start serving an 8 mile radius. In addition to that, our E stands for the need to equip missionaries, to put into the hearts of believers that, man, you're a missionary for Jesus. Start raising up leaders in the church and Christians who recognize that they're on mission. Start identifying pastors and helping to raise them up and help them get their education and their credentialing so they can go through a process of creating a church that can reproduce itself. Pouring all the necessary resources into these church plants. Then A stands for the need to acquire funds. Obviously, things like this cost money, but what God ordains, He pays for. And I believe that as we go forward, we're not going to just kind of like go and just drop into an area and just start something. But there needs to be some intelligent decision making, some strategic goals. We need to identify a radius, an area. We need to engage missionaries, right? We need to equip missionaries. We need to acquire necessary funding so this thing could sustain itself. And when those three things are happening, our L stands for the importance of launching a church. You see, these steps all build upon each other. All could be happening at the same time. In fact, I believe are happening as we speak. I believe God is setting the stage even now for that. I believe that within our congregation, there are those that God is raising up to be pastors of these plants and leaders and elders and deacons and worship team leaders and everything else. They're in our midst. We just need to keep equipping and keep serving and keep trusting God for the resources. And when God says go, we'll be ready to go. Those are our long-term goals. But that's tied to a short-term goal, a one-year goal. I shared this with you last year. Our goal last year was simply this, to grow. That was our one-year goal. Sorry, I'm like a mile ahead of myself here. Our goal is to grow both deep and wide. Deep in why? Deep in our theology, deep in understanding who we are in Jesus Christ, deep in our understanding that it's by the word of God that everything else must be created. It's by the word of God that that must be the authority of all that we do. We must grow deep in our understanding of who God is, who we are, and who our communities are. And we must grow wide. We must grow in numbers. It's going to take thousands of people collectively over the next 10 years to hit the vision I believe God has put on this church. I believe that with all my heart, and I believe they're there. Grow deep. And as I said before, our goal last year, as I mentioned before, our goal was we wanted to see 100 people in this next year. We hit it. Not because we had some, like, you know, scratch-off win that they come and get something. No, we just preach the gospel, live for Jesus, and serve the community. That sounds like healthy church growth. And we're committed to that very same way. In our underneath our one-year goal, we break that up into four 90-day goals, many of which, all of which, we employed this past year as we looked at how are we going to grow both deep and wide in this upcoming year. How are we going to see new people come to faith in Jesus Christ this year? We use the acronym of GROW, again, to communicate our four 90-day goals. Our G stands for simply getting the word out, communicating what the vision is, letting people know this is the direction we're going in the church, letting it flow out of, you know, through our sermons and in our conversations. The goal was to kind of get this conversation to be something that's talked about over a bagel amongst everybody in the congregation at different times, getting the word out. The R stands for realigning our ministries. Looking at every one of our ministries here at the church and saying, does this tie in, does the direction of this ministry tie in with where we're going as a church? Pastor Frank will be sharing in a little while, but one of the things that we're really looking forward to doing this upcoming year is sharing about building and enhancing our missions outreach. And one of the things we're looking to do is to create a missions team together so we can have missions conferences down the road, right? But one of the things we're looking to do is develop a team of people, one person from each. I just stole your thunder. I'm so sorry, but I'm going to go there. this was his idea. I love it. But taking one person out of every one of our ministries to represent, to create our missions team. So we'll have one person from 179, one from Pillars, one from Mosaic, all of them making up our missions team so that when they meet, they go back to their teams and say, as we're making our plans, let's make sure we're missional about it. It's realigning our ministries so that we are moving in the same direction. O stands for Outreach 300. And that was just simply the goal for each and every one of us to go and invite a friend to church, invite a family member to church, bring people in and using whatever resources we have and social media and TV or whatever we can, just bring them in, let them hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And if God has them stay, great. If he springboards them from here to another church, awesome, as long as they're growing in their faith, right? And so our goal was to just bring in people, our friends, our family members. And then lastly, the W stands for the importance of widening our reach by 3 miles. And we focused that very intentionally, very strategically this year more than every other year in our church. An intentional focus. And I thank God for Pastor Frank really just championing that this past year and working with Barbara. I know he'd be the first one to say no one person does it, but working with Knit Together and Barbara and the ladies and other people in the church and looking and saying we've been very strategic in serving within our 3 mile radius, which is really why we believe we've been growing deep and wide as a church. And we're gonna continue to do that. You see, why do I say all that? Well, first, I wanna keep the vision fresh before you so you know where we're going as a church. But I also want you to recognize the importance that what we believe and what we do with what we believe are directly connected. Churches all have a lifeline. And oftentimes, what churches oftentimes will do is they'll start with excitement, they'll start with zeal, they'll start with outreach, and then they kind of focus on, well, you know what, we want to get structured. And I'll be honest with you, I look back and when we started our church, and I thought to myself, I wish I would have did some things differently as the lead pastor of the church. I wish we would have been more intentional about outreach. But in the beginning, I was so focused on wanting to be, getting to that point where we felt like a structured church. Like we were kind of like predictable. And then we started to get like what I was shooting for. And I was like, this isn't what we started the church for. There's not a lot of mission stuff going on. And so it was like, we needed to kind of reorganize our direction. And I see churches go through those cycles where they focus so much on head knowledge and distinctives that oftentimes divide, and it's like they lose the reason why we gather. Listen, we gather to grow and go. That's really it. That's what we're about. We're about taking the good news of Jesus Christ that changed our lives around and bringing it to the world around us. That's what we're called to do. Our theology, our creed needs to manifest itself in service to others. You know, it's interesting. I find something, you know, when you look at some of the judgments in the scriptures, I find it interesting that the judgments that we read about in the scripture are not based on what we believe. It's based on what we did. I was hungry. You didn't give me something to eat. I was thirsty. You didn't give me something to drink. Depart from me. I look at the Bema Seat judge. You see, it's interesting. I find these now. Obviously, I recognize that there is no works that are going to secure our salvation. The only work that secures our salvation is the work of Jesus Christ and us putting all of our trust in Jesus Christ. So why do we see the judgment towards works? Because what God is looking for us to do is to take that which we've received, that which we believe, and let it manifest itself in service to other people. It's James saying, listen, show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Christians who don't serve need to question whether they're really Christians. I didn't ask you if you love Jesus, but here's the deal. If you really love Jesus, you'll love what Jesus loves. And Jesus loves lost people. Jesus loves serving. Jesus loves healing things that are broken. And you see, that's what we got to be about. That's why our mission is to passionately inspire people to passionately follow Jesus. 2018 was a wonderful year. For me, and I know for so many of you, for me personally, it, on a personal level, it was probably the hardest year of my life, a lot of loss. But from a ministry point of view, it was probably the most wonderful year of my life. It's interesting how those things work together, right? God's doing an incredible thing in our midst. One of the things that we've done over the last number of years is we've taken aside those first couple of weeks of the year and set that time aside for prayer and fasting. And each of the years, we've always had a theme that we kind of focus our attention on. And as we're coming into the end of 2018 and we stand at the beginnings of 2019 and more specifically our time of prayer and fasting, our focus for this year is going to be praying and asking God to create opportunities for us to serve. I'm really excited. Pastor John and Nicole are in the back, and they're going to be planning a church in Mastic in this upcoming year. And I'm looking forward to being a part of that church plant, to serving them and resourcing them with our resources, with our people, with whatever we possibly can to see a healthy, vibrant church in Mastic. And you know what? If we want to see life change, it needs to be birthed in prayer. I've asked them to come and join us those 2 weeks for that time of prayer and fasting together. Pastor John's getting kind of heavy. He needs to lose weight anyway. And so... he's got about 2% body fat. That's why I can say that. But what I want us to focus on this upcoming year is ministry opportunity that Integrity Church doesn't directly become a recipient of. I want us to pour out in the lives of Redemption Hill, of lost people, of people who are in need, whatever it may be. I want us to focus. It's interesting. James says pure and undefiled religion is this, to minister to widows and orphans. What makes it pure and undefiled? They can't pay you back. And I think it's time for our church to financially, spiritually, and in any other way, invest in missions and missionaries like Pastor John, and lost people without any expectation of it growing our church, or listen, if we don't grow by one person, but we're a part of seeing a plant take place in Mastic, that people come to Jesus, I will look back by this time next year rejoicing that the kingdom of God has grown. Because you know what? It's not about Integrity Church. It's about the kingdom of God. And I'm going to encourage you to mark in your calendars January 7th to the 20th. Will be a time of prayer and fasting for our church. We'll meet Monday, Wednesday, and Friday during those weeks. We'll seek God together. It will be inconvenient. It will be cold. It'll probably be snowy. There'll be good things on TV. There'll be every possible reason presenting itself to not go to this. But we will seek God together. We are going to prioritize the kingdom of God. And we're going to see the fruit of that, I believe with all of my heart, in 2019. It's been a good year, but the year's over. Let's move on to greater things that are ahead. And I believe it all. I know it's Christmas week and this season. I know next week we'll start our Christmas series. Don't worry, I haven't forgotten. But I want us to look at Christmas and everything through the lens of being a missionary for Jesus. We've been called, I believe, to a tremendous task. And I believe with the people we have, and the hearts that are in place, and the Spirit of God who is with us, our greatest days are ahead, church. To the glory of God, amen. Pastor Frank's going to come, and he's going to share some specific things that you can get involved in right now. And I know it's interesting, as you're going over the announcements, I was thinking, that's a lot of stuff going on, and I can't imagine anybody ever got all those, but there's some specific things that you can be involved in, like right now, in these next couple of weeks, by prioritizing what we're talking about and being a part of what God's doing. So let's give Pastor Frank a warm welcome this morning.